Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Hello and welcome into the Pick'em Pod, brought to you by the Block M Podcast Network, as we head into championship weekend in college football. And I can't believe that the regular season has already come and gone on another great college football season. And do we have a battle here on the Pick'em Pod? Luke Giardi here along with Von Lozon and Dan Plucker. And coming off of last week, shout out to Von, who has taken the lead with a 4-4 week last week. Dan has crawled back in with a 4-4 week. I went 3-5, dropping a game to Vaughn. So as we stand, it doesn't get much closer than this. Vaughn in first place at 52-3. I'm in second at an even 500, 53-4. Dan, two games behind Vaughn, one game behind myself at 52-54-3, and a great slate of conference championship games on the horizon. Guys, what's going on? Good to be here with you again.
Yeah, good to be back with you as well, my friend. It's going to be an insane week of college football. Hope you guys and everybody out there listening had a good Thanksgiving as well. Definitely had a good Saturday at the Big House in Ann Arbor. That was a hell of a game. One of the very best and definitely the rowdiest and loudest atmospheres I've been to at Michigan Stadium. So that was an awesome time. Can't wait to break down all these picks with you guys. Dan, how's your week been going, man?
Yeah, pretty well. Another 500 week for me. It seems like a pretty standard thing here in my world, hoping to get actually a winning week going one of these weeks. And, you know, I'm excited to see how the college football playoff shapes out this week. There's a chance for some chaos, which would be fun. But if Michigan wins, they're in. So, and I'm pretty confident in that. So looking forward to breaking down the rest of the games and hopefully having a stress-free weekend.
Well, we're going to start with a conference championship game, non-Power 5, because we're going to break them all down here for you. And what could be a pretty good game, we've got SMU and Tulane squaring off, and Tulane 3.5-point favorites. Vaughn, you're the leader. I'll start with you.
Yeah, this is a really this has the chance to be a really interesting one here. I'm going to go with the underdog in this matchup. I'm going to go with SMU, even though this is a de facto road game for SMU. All of the advanced metrics point to the Mustangs actually being the favorite in this game, which is kind of surprising given that Vegas has this completely flipped. So when in doubt, I'm just going to go with the advanced nerds in college football and roll with SMU to upset Tulane on their own home turf. So give me SMU.
Dan, how do you see it playing out?
Yeah, everybody loves the Green Wave because of their run last year, especially after beating USC in the New Year's Six Bowl last season. They're 11-1 again this year. ACC championship game playing in their home field, like Von mentioned, and they only have one loss this year. It was to Ole Miss when their starting quarterback, Michael Pratt, was out. That was one of the first games we broke down on the podcast, actually. SMU, they've been fiery the last couple weeks. Their only two losses also to Power 5 competition, TCU and Oklahoma. They scored 59 last week against Navy, but the important thing to note here is Preston Stone, their starting quarterback, out the rest of the season after breaking his leg in the second quarter of that game. It has me a little bit worried going to Tulane against a defense that has really shut people out when they've been playing at home this season. Mustangs have won 7 of the last 8 games between these two, though. It's kind of a hard one to pick, but I'm going to be rolling with pretty much the home team here and the Green Wave since Stone is out. And I like what their defense has done. Their unders have hit in 5 straight home games for Tulane. So I'm going to be riding with the Green Wave in the 3.5.
Yes, this number has been really jumpy since the news of Preston Stone being out in this one, but I still like SMU overall from a team perspective in this one. I'm going to grab over the key of 3. Tulane's just kind of been getting by here this season, kind of strangely, but from the sounds of it, probably going to be Willie Fritz's last game at Tulane as well. Not sure, you know, I mean, there's a lot of talk. That's a distraction in its own right. How invested in this game is he? And I don't think the drop off from Preston Stone to Kevin Jennings is going to be as big as a lot of people seem to think. Obviously, Preston Stone's having a fantastic season in such a small sample size with Kevin Jennings. But from everything I've come across here, a lot of belief in this quarterback, Jennings, who sounds like he's going to be getting the start. So I'm going to roll with SMU plus the 3.5 here this week. As we head out to, I believe this game is actually being played in Las Vegas, Boise State, 2.5-point favorites, taking on the Rebels, Dan.
Yeah, I think Vegas has this one wrong. UNLV is playing in their home stadium, Allegiant Stadium, in Las Vegas. And it was just, this is a really weird game because the only reason that Boise State and UNLV are playing each other is because they have some sort of BCS system to decide who the championship, who makes a championship game. San Jose State actually beat UNLV last week, and they were the other team in that scenario. Kind of crazy that UNLV is here, but I honestly think they're the better team. And what I have problems with is the Broncos. They're 1-4-1 against the spread this season when they're on the road. UNLV is one of the best teams against the spread this season at 10-2. So I think that there's going to be a lot of points in this game. Both teams have offenses ranked in the top 35 in S&P Plus. So I expect a healthy amount of points, but I think the Rebels are the better team and better suited to beat Boise State here, who just fired their head coach a couple weeks ago. So I'll be riding with the Rebels.
How do you see it playing out, Vaughn?
Yeah, I completely agree. I'm going with UNLV as a home underdog as well. This is, like you kind of alluded to, Dan, this is going to be one of the more offensive firepowered games here. The over-under on DraftKings right now for this game, it's the second highest of championship weekend at 59. The other one, the one higher is Oregon-Washington, which we'll get to here in a second. But yeah, I mean, UNLV offense, number 30, according to SP Plus. Their defense is number 89. On the flip side, Boise State also got a strong defense, 33rd on SP Plus. Their defense is 71. So this one definitely going to be a shootout. I expect the home team to end up victorious here. And I think they will take down Boise State, which, like you said as well, Dan, without their head coach that they just fired a couple weeks back, really interesting that they even made it to the conference championship. So I will roll with the Rebels this week.
Yeah, I'm with you guys. I think it's been an absolute positive that Boise State fired their head coach a couple weeks back. Their interim has them 2-0 playing well. They've actually, they had one or two guys, one for sure, pretty good player that quit initially during the year on this team, come back to the team. So sounds like there were some serious locker room issues with Boise's head coach. However, you know, you get a game bump, you get a two-game bump. That happens. Now in a conference championship game, I think it's completely different. Boise State's interim, he was a grad assistant like 5 years ago, going up against Barry Odom in UNLV. Great coach. I like the Rebels here playing at home, like you guys mentioned. I'm going to go ahead and grab the 2.5. I think Boise's getting a little too much of a bump here. So give me UNLV plus the 2.5. As we go to the MAC championship game, we love some action here on the show, and Miami is taking on Toledo at Ford Field, and Toledo a little over a touchdown, an 8-point favorite, Vaughn.
Yeah, we do love some action on the show, man. We represent the MAC like no other across podcasts here. I'm going to go with Toledo to cover and obviously win this game. The Rockets only have one loss this entire season, and they are a top 40 team per SP Plus. That's ahead of teams like UCLA, Florida, Oklahoma State. They've had a really impressive season, and they defensively, Toledo gets after the quarterback. They average nearly 3 sacks a game. They're 48th in the country in rush defense. They're even better against the pass. They're 23rd overall in the country, and they have the 7th best rushing offense in America. They go for about 212 rushing yards per game. And Miami, Ohio does have a solid run defense overall and has the number 15 overall defense per SP Plus. So they may be able to hang tight for a little bit, but the Rockets, they've put together a really nice season here, and their head coach is going to be one of the hotter candidates this offseason to take a better head coaching job. So, and Toledo, they have not lost a game since week 1. They only lost by 2 points to Illinois on the road. So I really like this Toledo team. I'm going to take them to win and to cover this spread.
Dan, how do you see it playing out?
It's a rematch of a game that happened a couple weeks ago. Toledo beat Miami, Ohio in Ohio just over a month ago, it looks like, by 4 points. 21-17 was the final score there. The spread was 2.5 in that game, so I'm kind of surprised to see it jump as much as it has. So Toledo did cover in that game because they were favored by 2.5, but now for them to be favored by 8 is a little bit of a surprise to me, because the Redhawks defense held Toledo to 0 points in the second half of that game, which maybe indicates that they might have something that might slow down Toledo's quarterback, Daquan Finn, who's just been an explosive player for them. So I think Toledo wins the game, but Miami covers with the 8 points.
This is an interesting one to me, right? Because how do you factor in, if you take a look at Toledo's splits, home and away, right? At home, they've been pretty doggone good, winning by decent margins for the most part. Had a close one with like Northern Illinois, but beat Eastern by 26 at home, beat Buffalo by 18 at home, beat Western by 18 at home, beat Texas Southern 71-3 at home. But on the road, Ball State, they went to Ball State, won only 13-6, won at Miami 21-17, as you alluded to, won at Bowling Green 32-31 on the road. This is a neutral, like, is it just Toledo on the road in a hostile environment, or just Toledo away from Toledo? And that's where I'm having some trouble with the handicap. But I mean, Miami of Ohio, 103rd in offensive SP Plus. At the end of the day, I think Toledo puts the squeeze on him. I think Vegas, to your point, Dan, is telling us something that we might not know here. With this spread being so inflated. So I'm going to roll with the Rockets here to cover the 8 points at Ford Field. And a huge, huge game with massive playoff implications. Pretty much how it feels to me. I don't know if you guys share the same sentiment. This is going to be a win and in for the college football playoff type scenario. In my mind, it's number 3 Washington and number 5 Oregon at a massive inflated spread. Oregon, 9.5-point favorite, Stan.
Yeah, it feels kind of crazy for them to be favored that much. Yes, they look like the much better team, and they have been the last couple of weeks. They blew out the teams that Washington struggled with in the last 3 weeks in Oregon State, Utah, and Washington State. Huskies are just 2-4 against the spread in the last 6 games. Like I said, it feels like their offense has lost a little bit of firepower. But I will say, Oregon's defense, although it's ranked much higher by a lot of those statistics that you'll see out there, I mean, Michael Penix still threw for 302 yards and four touchdowns, and the running back Dylan Johnson ran for over 100 yards in that game. It's not like Washington is just going to die and not put up a fight in this contest. The spread was 3 at Washington, which makes sense. They should have been favored as the home team for the game earlier this year. But I think I'm going to be rolling with Washington here. I feel like the spread's just a little bit too much for me to feel comfortable with Oregon winning this game by 10 points. I think that Washington's offense is going to be they play to their competition. You know, that was proven when they played Oregon earlier this year. There was a stretch during the game where it was 5 straight possessions for these teams. The touchdowns were scored. Oregon was playing scared in that game, which is why they were being aggressive and didn't take the points in so many situations, because they wanted to put points on the board because they couldn't slow down Washington's offense. So give me Washington plus the 9.5 here. And I think that they'll probably get it done.
How do you see playing out, Vaughn?
Yeah, I could see this one going either way here, but I'm going to take the hot hand and I'm going to go with the Oregon Ducks to win and to cover the spread. I did initially have Washington covering this earlier in the week, and then it was just a couple days ago that my mind flipped over to Oregon. I mean, they've just been a freight train from hell. The last month of the season, they put up 63 on Cal, 36 on USC, 49 at Arizona State. And then just a week ago, they beat a really tough Oregon State team 31-7. I mean, they looked like they were in control that entire game, and they were in control that entire game. They've got the top ranked offense per SP plus. They got the 14th ranked defense per SP plus. And Washington has just not looked like itself over the last month and a half, pretty much since that game where they beat Oregon earlier this season. I mean, they only beat Arizona State by 8 points. They beat Stanford by 11 points. USC was kind of close there for a little bit. Utah only by a touchdown. I mean, they've had close game after close game. I think the dam finally breaks here in this Pac-12 championship. And to your question, Luke, I don't know if this is a de facto win and you're in, because if Oregon wins and then Alabama wins against Georgia, that could create some talking points for the college football playoff committee. But it certainly could be a win and in situation. But regardless here, I'm going to take Oregon to win and cover.
Yeah, I'm on your side on this one, Vaughn. I like Oregon. I look at this Washington team and a team that's just barely hanging on, it feels like. And I have a tough time rolling with a team who's just limping to the finish line while Oregon is just playing on all cylinders. You know, sometimes football in a season like this, it can be, a game of momentum. And particularly Michael Penix, I'm a little bit worried about. I take a look at his last 5 games, right? If you go throughout the majority of the season, Penix is completing like 65-75% of his passes, but you go to the last 5 games and his completion percentages are 56.8, 73.3, but that game against USC, 57.1, 46.4, and 54.5. He's just not playing his best football right now. I even heard some rumblings about maybe dealing with a bit of an injury. Looked like he was kind of wincing a little bit last week. Oregon is steamrolling teams right now. They're playing pretty good on both sides of the football. I feel like Washington is just limping to the finish line here, and I can't roll to that side. I think Oregon gets it done, and they get it done big. And I think part of the motivation is something you just alluded to, Vaughn. If Oregon goes out and wins this game by 21, 24 points, it's going to be hard to keep them out of the playoff, no matter what happens in that SEC title game. So going to be really interesting, but I think they need to put up some, an impressive performance to really try and make a good case for the college football playoff. And hey, we've got some great stuff here for you with Manscaped. Every man knows how scary it can get when going for a close shave below the belt. And that's why I trust Manscaped for all my sensitive areas. Their newest package, they contain the Lawnmower 5.0 Ultra 5th Generation Trimmer, featuring 2 interchangeable next-gen skin-safe blade heads, a standard one for taking a little off the top, and then a new foil blade to go smooth wherever your heart desires. And it also has a dual LED spotlights to provide contrast on multiple skin tones. 3 length setting combos, perhaps best of all, it's waterproof, So it also includes a travel case and even a travel lock feature to avoid any accidental powering and or weird looks in the airport. So join the 5 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped for all their grooming needs and use the promo code MNB20. That's Block M20. Block M20 is the promo to get free shipping and 20% off your order. Head to manscaped.com. Use that promo code Block M20 at checkout for 20% off your entire order. We head to the Big 12 championship game. Speaking of a team that might need an impressive performance to get into the college football playoff, number 7, Texas, a 15-point favorite going up against Oklahoma State, Vaughn.
Yeah, this one is another one that I don't think is going to be particularly close. I'm going to take Texas to win and cover the spread. Oklahoma State at this point, very fortunate to be in this game in the first place. They were down big to BYU last weekend, had to come back from a 24-6 deficit only to win in double overtime. So they're kind of limping into this game as well. And on the other side, Texas, they just put up a 50 burger to Texas Tech last Saturday. So there was absolutely no looking ahead to the conference championship game for them whatsoever. Oklahoma State, they're 66th in the country per SP Plus on defense. Texas, one of the more well-rounded teams in the country. They've got the number 4 rush defense. And Oklahoma State relies on its run game offensively to put points on the board. So I think Oklahoma State is in big trouble this weekend. I've got Texas winning this one by a pretty big margin.
How do you see it playing out, Dan?
I'm right there with you, Vaughn. I think that the Longhorns are going to have a pretty easy day on Saturday. Oklahoma State's had a roller coaster of a season. You know, they were blown out at home in week 2 or 3 against a South Alabama team that finished 6-6. You know, from there, they got things rolling. You know, they upset Kansas State, Kansas. You can even call the West Virginia win an upset. And then against Oklahoma on the way to a 7-1 finish. But in the last 3 weeks, they lost 45-3 to UCF and then were in double overtime against BYU to even get into this game. Now, Ollie Gordon, their running back, is one of the best in the country. He scored 5 touchdowns last week. Texas has given up 6 rushing touchdowns all season, and they've played some pretty impressive teams along the way. I think that Oklahoma State's really going to struggle to move the football. Texas's run defense is really good. Number 4 in the country. They allow less than 85 yards a game. And I don't know if I trust Alan Bowman's arm to get things done. He's completing less than 60% of his passes. He's thrown more interceptions than touchdowns this season. I think that the Cowboys are just not going to be able to keep up with Texas's offense. So I'll be laying the points with the Longhorns here.
Yeah, I think you bring up a good point, man. The only way you're kind of beating this Texas defense is with explosive plays through the air, right? We saw it with Alabama, Kansas. They're gettable, but is Oklahoma State the team to do that? I'm going to bet against that. I like Texas to win and cover this one here this week because, again, kind of going back to the point, Oklahoma State, yeah, they're playing with some motivation, obviously, to win a Big 12 championship. There's no question about that. Texas, though, they're not only thinking about the Big 12 championship, they need a great performance to show the playoff committee that they deserve to be one of the top 4 teams if they win this game. And they're going to need to not limp their way to victory against Oklahoma State, one of the absolute luckiest teams in the country here this season. Give me the Longhorns to win and win big in the Big 12 championship. Now, an intriguing matchup. This line would not be nearly as close if Jordan Travis was playing. I do know that. But number 10, Louisville, taking on number 4, Florida State in the ACC Championship. Seminoles, 2.5-point favorite, Dan.
Yeah, I love Florida State here, to be honest with you. And I also picked them before the season, so I'm trying to double down here with Florida State getting this ACC Championship. You know, not having Jordan Travis, like you mentioned, it hurts this team. And they're still figuring things out with Tate Rodemaker, who's their now backup. But they have so many weapons on the offensive side of the ball. And I feel like he could just throw the ball up there and one of the 6'5" giant receivers that he has on his team can come down with it. On top of that, you know, Louisville's coming off that loss against Kentucky. They gave up 38 points. Ray Davis, Kentucky's running back had 127 yards of total offense and 3 touchdowns in that game. I think that Florida State was definitely watching, and they're going to have a similar scheme set up for Trey Benson, who's their stud running back in this game. So I'm going to take the Noles to win, to cover. And, you know, they're in the same spot as Texas. They've got to prove that they're good enough to be in a college football playoff spot. And I think that's what they do in that game on Saturday.
Vaughn, how do you see it playing out, man?
I'm going to go on the other side here. I'm going to take Louisville. I liked them a little more when they were 3.5-point underdogs, but with it being 2.5 now, I'll still take them. They've got a pretty solid defense overall. Number 11 rush defense, number 56 pass defense. But this pass defense, also number 22 in the country in passes intercepted with 12. And this Cardinal defense also gets about 2.5 sacks per game. So if they can get to Florida State's backup quarterback, have him throw some wobbly passes, have a good opportunity to intercept those. Those could be game-wrecking plays, much like we saw last week with the Michigan-Ohio State game. So I think they're going to be able to kind of hang around a little bit. And this would, I kind of expected this to be a tight one regardless. I just, you know, despite the loss that they had last week, that was brutal. I still do like this Louisville squad. So I will take them to, at the very least, cover the spread here this weekend.
Yeah, under the key number 3, I'm going to roll with Florida State here because no Jordan Travis. But the good news for Florida State is Jordan Travis does not play defense, and Florida State, the number 9th ranked defense in SP Plus, going up against a Louisville squad that comes in 32nd offensively. I think Florida State is going to be able to stifle Louisville a bit defensively. Look, Rodemaker, he had a really tough task, really, right? Going into the swamp in a rivalry game, last game of the regular season, undefeated season on the line. That is a horrible spot to be put in as a backup quarterback, and he handled himself somewhat well in that scenario. Louisville, they're just outside the top 30 in defensive SP Plus, but as Dan alluded to, I really like the weapons for Florida State. Think they're going to be able to maybe move the ball a little bit on the ground and hopefully open up some play action and hit guys like Johnny Davis and Keon Coleman over the top. So I like Florida State to cover the 2.5. I think people are a little too down on them given the fact that they don't have Jordan Travis, and probably a bit of a shaky performance against Florida, though they weren't the only ones last weekend, let's be honest here. But as we move to the SEC championship game, obviously a lot of eyes going to be on this one. Number 1, Georgia, 5.5-point favorites, taking on Bama, Vaughn.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Bulldogs in this one. I mean, it's in the friendly confines of the state of Georgia. The Bulldogs rise to the level of their opponent. And last weekend at Auburn was just an anomaly of a game. I mean, the ending of that was just, I'm still trying to figure out how they scored that touchdown. That was just insane the way that game ended. But this Alabama team, they are on an impressive winning streak here. Haven't lost since that Texas game in week 2. But they've been pretty fortunate to not slip up a few times. This Bulldogs team, number 2 overall on SP Plus. They have top 5 units for offense, defense, and special teams. Alabama's number 8 overall. So I do expect them to put up somewhat of a fight. But like I said, Georgia, they play up to their opponent earlier this season when they went to Tennessee just a couple weeks ago, 38-10, played Ole Miss at home, beat them 52-17. And they've just been blown out people left and right, other than that Missouri game, essentially, earlier this season. So, yeah, I like Georgia to continue to assert their dominance. They'll play like the number 1 team this weekend in Atlanta. I like them by about 10 points this weekend.
How about you, Dan?
Yeah, I'm also on the Bulldogs train here. You know, both of these teams weren't great last week. It makes sense. It's a rivalry game. It's a little awkward, I think, when you know that you're the better team going into those games. Sometimes, you know, you can just get a little caught up, especially because the SEC championship game was already set. So your eyes are already looking forward to that next game, I think. But you know, Georgia kind of cruised through the SEC, and they had a really easy schedule throughout the course of this year. I think they left the state of Georgia 3 times. The thing is, this game's also in Georgia, which is just kind of nuts how they are not leaving that state this season. It definitely benefits them. I will say, I don't think that either of these teams' defenses are as good as what they have been in years past. previously they've been world beaters. You know, the reason why they are the number one and number two teams in the country are because of this vaunted defense that just nobody can score on. I think there's a lot of points in this game. I love the over at 54.5. I think both of these offenses can put up some big points, but I like the Bulldogs more in this game. It's basically a home game, 5.5 points. It's under that key marker of 7. And I just think that they're the better football team top to bottom. So give me the Bulldogs to win this one.
Yeah, this is a tough one. Obviously, I really, really want to go Alabama here, but I just can't quite get there because I think the number falls a little short, right? I mean, if you take a look at it, like SP Plus makes us about a 7.2 point differential. We're sitting at 5.5 with the back-to-back national champs, a team that, you know, really has taken over for Alabama within that conference, even though, you know, Bama did win it 2 years ago, even though Georgia won the national championship and beat Bama in there. Just feels like Georgia has kind of taken that Alabama mold, right? Like an up and comer, not that Alabama's an up and comer, but you think back to it, it was really hard to beat them in like an SEC championship game like this or a national championship game like we saw with LSU in what, 2011, 2012, whatever it was there. It just couldn't quite get over that Alabama hump. Now, Georgia's kind of taking that mantle, I think, here. They're getting healthier, which I think is huge. And Beck's been playing tremendous football as of late, which makes them just so much more tough. Go ahead, give me the Bulldogs to cover the 5.5. As we head to Indianapolis, the Big Ten championship and number 2 Michigan, a 22-point favorite against number 16 Iowa, Dan.
Yeah, I'm really trying to not look at this game with maize and blue glasses on, but how does Iowa's offense score in this game? Michigan has the number 2 defense in college football against other top 10 teams in S&P Plus. Nebraska was number 7 last week. Iowa scored 13 points. 6 of those points came directly off turnovers in plus territory, and one was the game-winning field goal. Penn State, number 4 defense on S&P Plus. Iowa didn't score in that game. The Wolverines are better and more opportunistic than both of those defenses. Iowa's only getting 3.5 yards per carry. Deacon Hill is completing less than 50% of his passes, has more picks than touchdowns. And I'm not entirely sure that the Iowa Hawkeyes are better than Minnesota or Nebraska. They lost to Minnesota, barely beat Nebraska last week. Michigan beat those teams by a combined 97-19. The Wolverines are pissed off. Jim Harbaugh wants that trophy from Tony Petitti. And one last thing, I was looking up just the S&P Plus offensive teams for who has played Iowa this season. They have the number 1 defense per S&P Plus. 5 of the 12 games that they had this season were against offenses that finished outside of the top 100 in college football. 5 of them. There are 133 teams in Division I college football. Of course, Iowa's defense is going to be the number 1 in the country. So Michigan is going to absolutely roll. I think they can hit the over by themselves in this game. Give me Michigan and the points and the over in this contest.
Vaughn, how about you, man?
Dan, that was wax poetic, my friend. Well done. I'm going to take Michigan as well. You took a lot of my thunder with this. Yeah, I mean, the Hawkeyes just have not played a team as good as Michigan this season. And the closest one that they played was Penn State, and they gave up 31 points. I can't see a path for Iowa scoring points unless it comes via special teams or defense. And the downside to that is that they're missing their best defensive and special teams player in Cooper DeJean. He's out for the rest of the season. Oh, and by the way, Cade McNamara has been out for this entire season for the most part. Eric All has been out for the most part. And their other tight end, Lachey, has also been out for a majority of the season. This is the dumbest championship game of all time. And I think Michigan wins this one handily. It very well could be another 42-3 game like we saw a couple years ago in Indianapolis. This game honestly could be over at the end of the first quarter. There was a prop bet that I saw that was like over under amount of points for Iowa in the first half, and it was set at 0.5. I mean, this is just going to be a disgusting football game. So if you like these kinds of football games, God bless you. I hope you have a great time Saturday night. I'm going to be looking away for the most part. So I will take Michigan to win. I will take Michigan to cover. And I hope that we never see a conference championship game like this ever again.
I hear what you guys are saying, but I'm not going to discount the fact of Iowa's ability to just make weird shit happen. And so I'm actually going to take the Hawkeyes plus 22 here. I don't think they win this game, but just they have a very strange ability, man. I think Michigan is going to have a harder time moving the football than a lot. I think 12.5 was their first half total, 13.5, something like that. Wouldn't be surprised to see Michigan. You go back to even Purdue last year, right? And Michigan at times kind of had trouble scoring on them until late in that football game. This falls somewhere between a 2-3 touchdown win for Michigan. And I know that's right around the number. I think I see a 20-point win somewhere in there, you know, to be quite honest with you. I'm thinking about taking Iowa's team total over because they're going to pull out all the stops. What do they have to lose, man? I mean, they're going to be throwing halfback passes. They tried one 2 years ago in the Big Ten championship that was wide open. They just sucked at it and they completely missed it. That would have been a touchdown early in that game, right? And this is just a weird team for Iowa. So I think they keep it closer than people expect them to. I'm going to grab the points with the Hawkeyes in the Big Ten championship game. As it wraps up our college football season, at least for the regular season of the conference championships, we'll see about the bowls. But, fellas, it's been a pleasure. If that doesn't happen before we go, I'll let you guys say where we can find you on social media. I'll start with you, Dan.
Yeah, follow me on Twitter at Dan Plucker. That's P-L-O-C-H-E-R.
How about you, Vaughn?
Yep, follow me on Twitter at Vaughn_Lozon.
You can follow me on Twitter at Luke Giardi, LukeGhiardi, as we put a bow on the college football season. What a year it's been, boys, and it's going to come down to the wire. I can't wait to see who walks away with the Pick 'em Pod Championship.
It's going to be a great ending, man. I mean, I'm eager to see how this goes, too. This has been such a tight season between the three of us, just back and forth. And I mean, it has just been up to the wire. So I'm really, really excited, really proud of all of us for being over 500 and really making some money along the way. So kudos to you guys.
Well, I'm not over 500, but hopefully I can get there this week. So.
Well, you will. You'll get there, I promise.
Oh, man. Yeah, I'm right at 5. So we'll see what happens here. But, boys, what a great season it was. And another one that went far too quickly. For my partners, Vaughn Lozon and Dan Plucker, I'm Luke Giardi. Thank you for listening to the Pick 'em Pod.